1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In a city in Russia's Ural Mountains, a second hearing in the espionage trial of an already imprisoned Wall Street Journal reporter.
Evan Gerskovich, appearing behind closed doors, is accused of gathering secret information on orders from the CIA about a plant that produces military equipment, some of which is used in Ukraine. It's a claim his employer and U.S. officials have denounced. Russia's foreign minister, on the other hand, says his country has irrefutable evidence that the 32-year-old is guilty. Moscow signaled the possibility of an eventual prisoner swap.
ABC's Tom Rivers. Former President Trump tonight formally accepts the Republican presidential nomination at the Milwaukee convention. Last night, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance accepted the vice presidential nomination. Facing conservative backlash, farm equipment manufacturer John Deere says it'll no longer sponsor social or cultural awareness events. This is ABC News. Project 2025, the arch-conservative playbook for the next Republican administration to overhaul every aspect of the federal government. Former President Trump says he's had no part in it. The Biden-Harris campaign says, yeah, he does.
Several key Trump allies have worked on the plan, including Johnny McEntee, considered perhaps Trump's most loyal aide in the White House. In 2020, he ran an effort to purge people from the Trump administration considered not loyal enough to Donald Trump. For the past 2 years, McEntee and Project 2025 have been compiling a massive list of names of people loyal to Trump to work in a second Trump administration. And with it, a plan to make it easier to fire millions of civil servants across the federal government.
ABC's Jonathan Carl. Trouble for New York City Council member Susan Zhuang, busted Wednesday during a chaotic protest over construction of a new homeless shelter in her Brooklyn district, accused of biting a police officer. This is ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
At Uline, the prevailing opinion is, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. The people at Uline believe in hard work, and they live it by being there 24/7 to answer your call, having 41,000 items in stock, and offering same-day shipping from 12 locations across North America. Business owners, sellers, buyers, shippers, and packers believe it. Uline is the hard-working, dependable source for your shipping and industrial supplies. Visit uline.com.
Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mike Clemens.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we wrap up the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Lincoln Project co-founder Reed Galen will be our guest. Don't miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be another really nice day today. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, and just a light breeze with a high of 78 this afternoon. Tonight, clear and cool, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80 by Saturday. An isolated thunderstorm, sunny, more humid, high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the ear,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right. Lean left, great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocate's Thursday very special RNC coverage. Former Governor Scott McCallum at 4:20. Our friend and labor Rick Smith at 4:30. Join us.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
One more day for all our visitors in Wisconsin for the Republican National Convention. I sure hope they know this weather has treated them very, very well. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Thursday. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee. So glad you're making time on your schedule for us. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll be talking weather details with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. I was driving around the country yesterday. I see the Wisconsin winter wheat harvest has begun in some areas. Did also notice that a lot of those combine operators had to put that head down awfully low on the ground to pick up some of that grain that had already kind of toppled over. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the morning unfolds also. Today, the weather is absolutely gorgeous. Might have to burn off a little fog in the La Crosse area, but then otherwise, sunny skies for everybody. Daytime highs today expected to be in the mid to upper 70s. Calm winds. Tonight, clear down to the mid and upper 50s, so cow comfort overnight. Friday back with sunshine, temperatures near 80 degrees. Saturday, more of the same, sunshine near 80 degrees. By Sunday afternoon, though, we start bringing back that chance of rain, and I'm afraid front part of next week, a good chance of rain returning to the state of Wisconsin. Like I said, Stu's got the weather details. I want to introduce you to a new voice joining us here on the Midwest Farm Report. His name is Ben Jarboe. He's a farm kid from Southern Illinois that joined us this week. First story, he targeted a distillery in Baraboo. I like the way the young man thinks. We're going to hear his voice in that story on a Thursday. And we're also catching up with our friends from Everag. Cody Koster going to step to the microphone and help us better understand the dynamics of what's going on in dairy today.
It's time for the grooviest event of the summer at the Wisconsin State Fair. Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular, August 1st through the 11th.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is harnessing the power of data insights to boost demand for Wisconsin dairy products nationwide. Susanna Siege, Director of Market Research for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, emphasizes the significant role that secondary data plays in helping dairy companies across the state make informed decisions.
Work with over 260 dairy companies across the state that make a whole range of dairy products, from cheese and butter to yogurt, ice cream, sour cream, you name it. And each one of these manufacturers has to make decisions every day about what products to make and where to sell them. So the research that I'm providing to them can help them understand the market so that they're putting the right products on the right shelves in front of the right consumers. That helps them sell more dairy products, which in turn allows them to buy more Wisconsin milk. Now, a lot of the larger manufacturers in the state would have access to this kind of data on their own. So where we can really make a difference is with the smaller and mid-sized companies that wouldn't be able to afford this kind of research on their own. And then this way we can really help them grow their business, which grows the entire Wisconsin dairy industry.
You can learn more about how your dairy checkoff dollars are utilized at wisconsindairy.org.
The rain and the heat this summer could be a recipe for problems when it comes to your cattle's hooves. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Carl Berge joins us. He's a global leader in hoof health. He's a hoof health consultant and hoof trimmer with Sure Step Consulting and the Save Cows Network. He says dairy farmers need to be mindful of their cows' hooves, especially this time of year.
We know for a fact, and we've got good data today that shows when as things heat up, cows stand up more, and it's because especially high-producing cows are producing a lot of heat. Digesting in that rumen creates heat. And as an example, a cow that produces over 100 pounds of milk produces the same amount of heat as five hair dryers in an hour. The problem becomes is if we don't have a good cooling system or if we have the cows too crowded, those cows get overheated. And what we know is overheated cows won't lay down. If their body temperatures are too high, they won't lay down. And so what that results in, it results in more inflammation in the feet because they're standing around, because standing inhibit circulation, which then results in even more inflammation in the feet and leads to the Clawhorn lesions that we see, which are white line lesions and sole ulcers. And generally, we see the biggest impact about 2 months past the hottest time of the year.
2 months for the implications of that heat to kick in. Does this lead to lameness issues?
Yes. So this last week, it's been fairly hot here, and we're going to see a peak in lameness in about 2 months, which would be around the middle of August. And then if it cools off again and heats up again in another 3-4 weeks or a couple weeks, then we might see another peak 2 weeks later. And generally the peaks of lameness are always somewhere between the 20th of August and the beginning of October.
Even if you are doing everything you can to keep your cattle cool, if you do see inflammation, what are some ways that you can stave off those negative implications like lameness?
What we've learned is the better shape the claws are in when those cows go into this heat period, so the better they stand on those claws, the better the weight is distributed on the hoofs, the less the implications are. And we've shown that over years. It's the same thing that we see as an example at calving time. If they have good claws or good hoofs, good hoof shape, proper weight distribution, we see less implications from calving, similar to the heat stress.
Does that mean you should be calling a trimmer ahead of these heat waves? How often should you be calling a hoof specialist?
Usually cows are trimmed approximately 2 times per year. What we do most generally is we trim dry cows, or we make sure that when they enter the close-up pen or the fresh cow period, they have good claws, and then we do another trim mid-lactation. The issue becomes is, as an example right now, is so that means we trim cows about every 6 months. So if they were trimmed more than 4 months ago and their hoof shape is not good, it will affect them, or they have a higher risk for getting lame 6 to 8 weeks from now. What I do with some of my farms that were actually more aggressive in late May and June, picking some of those cows that are maybe higher risk cows, older cows that have had problems before, and we actually give them a checkup to make sure that they're making it through the summer properly.
Carl, a lot of the signs and symptoms of poor hoof health that we've talked about so far have been visual. Is there any behavioral signs in cattle when their feet are not doing well?
It kind of depends on the cow comfort. If we have good cow comfort, so if we have soft beds like sand, we don't see a lot of behavioral differences. But if we have like mattresses that are not well bedded or poor cow comfort so that the stalls are not good, the cows actually stamp more because there is more pain associated with getting up and down in those uncomfortable stalls. And so cows remember that, and it takes them longer to lay down. Sometimes they lay longer, and then because they know it's going to be painful getting up again. So there is behavioral differences, and some of these are being studied all the time and look at the variances. And that's why the more comfortable the beds are, and then the other thing is the better the wind speed over the beds where they're lying, the more they're encouraged to lie down. That was some work that came out at the University of Wisconsin a few years ago, that when the wind speed was up, they actually laid down quicker.
So the message I'm hearing is keep your cows comfortable, keep your cows cool to prevent any issues in their feet or their hooves. Carl, what we have not talked about yet is what we've been seeing this spring and into summer, a lot of rain. So do moisture and mud, are those also factors to watch out for?
You know, when you got humidity and moisture, you have more bacterial growth. So then sometimes the infectious diseases are more common, which would be like hairy heel warts or digital dermatitis and foot rot. Foot rot can be, especially for people that pasture cattle or cattle go outside, or for the beef cattle out there, it can be a high risk for foot rot when we have rain every couple, 3 days, because that's where those bacteria thrive. The bacteria, they love moisture and they love heat.
If you are a pasture operation especially, which those are common in Wisconsin, how do you prevent foot rot?
Well, in this case, sometimes we actually have to run a hoof bath like once a week or a couple times a week if it is a problem. But probably the most important part is to make sure that we don't have standing water in areas where cows congregate. So as an example, when they're hot, they tend to congregate either on the, if they're on pasture, on the trees or in a grove of trees. And it, when it becomes muddy in there, that's when the risk of foot rot will go up, because then when it becomes muddy, that gives the bacteria a place to multiply and then infect those cows.
So try to eliminate them from congregating in the same place over and over again.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and generally, we don't see foot rot the day it rains. It's always like a day or two later as it dries up a little bit, because in those mud puddles, the bacteria, they multiply. When it rains, the bacteria are diluted out from the rain, from the water. But as soon as it dries up a little bit in those pasture operations, that's when the foot rot comes in, because with the wet weather, the skin gets abraded. The bacteria that cause foot rot are actually in the rumen, so they're in the manure. And if the conditions are right, like hot water, a little moisture, they can multiply very quickly. And if we have abraded skin and the cows step in that puddle with all these bacteria, it's very easy to get an infection, especially if they're immunosuppressed. And if they're they might be immunosuppressed because they're heat stressed, or maybe right after calving. I mean, that's where we see some of the highest incidents of foot rot, as an example.
Carl Berge, along with us from Sure Step Consulting and the Save Cows Network, with some advice to keep your cows' hooves in good shape this summer. The heat, humidity, and moisture can be problematic for cattle both in and out of the barn. Cow comfort from head to hoof can influence production in your animals. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. U.S. Senator Robert Menendez was convicted July 16th on all federal charges of conspiracy, bribery, extortion, wire fraud, obstruction, and acting as a foreign agent in schemes involving an Egyptian-American businessman and a New Jersey developer. Damian Williams, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, said this wasn't politics as usual, this was politics for profit. In exchange for cash and gold bars, Menendez used his influence as chair of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee to procure exclusive import of halal processed meat products into Egypt. The New Jersey Monitor reports that Menendez then signed off on billions in U.S. military aid to the government of Egypt, despite the country's deteriorating human rights record. The businessmen were found guilty of conspiracy and bribery, and Menendez's wife, Nadine, will face trial after completing cancer treatment. Menendez and the businessmen will be sentenced October 29th. A fifth conspirator, Jose Uribe, cooperated with authorities. Menendez pressured the New Jersey Attorney General's office to drop an insurance fraud case involving Uribe in exchange for a new Mercedes convertible for his wife, Nadine. Menendez vows to appeal. He remains on the 2024 New Jersey ballot, and while he stepped down as chair, he remains on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. We have a link to the jaw-dropping corruption indictment at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Earl Ingram.
Thursday morning, we'll go in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar for one of my favorite segments of the week. We'll discuss some of the issues that are impacting you and I every day.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
I was out and about yesterday covering some miles, and I noticed that the combines are rolling. The winter wheat is starting to be harvested. If anybody's out there and have early observations, I would really welcome them. Some of these high-yielding fields have been tipped over because of the weather, you know, a little bit of lodging out there. That's going to make harvest a little bit tricky. I noticed I was up by Waupun yesterday, and that combine head was pretty low to the ground, you know, trying to grab every morsel. The good news is at least it's not going through mud right now.
Yeah, not mud right now. It's just slow going if you've got one of those fields. I've seen them that look really tough, and then, you know,
yeah,
a quarter mile down the road, the next one looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
That year.
The talk text line, if you want to share, or if you've got other observations, maybe your kids did really well at the county fair so far. Share it with me. I love to see those messages. Our talk text line, you can call it or text it, 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. They've even given me a big screen in the studio, so messages pop up in front of me right away. What's your message on weather this morning, my boy?
Another beautiful day. You liked yesterday, you'll like today. It's going to be almost the same. A nice bit of sunshine, comfortable temperatures, just a little cooler than normal, and a pretty fair north breeze. Not all that strong, you know, 5 miles per hour or so. The breeze picked up a little while last night where I was outside. It wasn't bad. It just really made it feel comfortable. High pressure is strengthening off to our northwest. We'll do quite the job of keeping that sunshine and dry weather in store today, tomorrow, Saturday. The high starts to shift east, and expect our winds shift to more of a southwesterly direction Friday. Not very strong even on into Saturday, but bringing just a little more mild air back in. And there may be a small chance as that mild air builds in, especially in far northwest and far northern Wisconsin, Eau Claire north and east. There may be a slight rain chance late Saturday there. I think most of us talk about that little slight afternoon pop-up shower later Sunday. But until that time, dry and fine. I'll have the forecast after this.
Dairy Girl Network invites all dairy women to join them at their biannual conference in Kansas City. The Forward Together Conference is November 5th through 7th and features 25 speakers with breakout sessions and time to connect with fellow farm women. The conference also has a trade show, shopping, and photo headshots. For full details and to register, visit DairyGirlNetwork.com. Registration deadline is October 8th.
Habenjager, BB Swagger. Those are just a few of the new flavors coming out of the Bavaria Sausage Kitchen. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke encouraging you to stop on by the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday 9 until 1. Of course, shop online anytime you want, BavariaSausage.com. They are creatively putting a twist on the traditional Landjager snack sticks, always a favorite. Now they're offering you the Cranjager with Wisconsin cranberries, the Pepper Jager, how about with some Brazilian red and green peppers, and now the Beer and Bacon Swiss Jager, the Swagger, and the Habanero Jager, the Habanjager. So like I said, there is flavor galore and old world authentic elements all around you. Check it out online, BavariaSausage.com, or stop on by corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road, open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Bavaria Sausage has got their brat fry this Friday from 11 until 2. Stu, they're going to have the Italian brat and the weather to boot, huh?
Oh, the weather is going to be gorgeous. I mean, this forecast, short and sweet, sunny and nice today, mid-70s, north winds at 5, overnight clear, mid and upper 50s with a calm breeze, sunny on Friday. In the upper 70s, winds become southwest about 5, mostly sunny Saturday, a lot of upper 70s or a very low 80 with a very light southwest breeze. And like I say, Pam, as that moisture and warm air builds in, that slight possibility of a little afternoon shower or storm, especially toward late Sunday or Monday.
My neighbor was already watering his grass yesterday, so it'll be welcome by then. All right, Stu, appreciate it, buddy. We'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, have a good one.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, bringing you kind of the weather details you love here in Wisconsin for July. We'll be back in a little bit.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Ball.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In a city in Russia's Ural Mountains, a second hearing in the espionage trial of an already imprisoned Wall Street Journal reporter.
Evan Gerskovich, appearing behind closed doors, is accused of gathering secret information on orders from the CIA about a plant that produces military equipment, some of which is used in Ukraine. It's a claim his employer and U.S. officials have denounced. Russia's foreign minister, on the other hand, says his country has irrefutable evidence that the 32-year-old is guilty. Moscow signaled the possibility of an eventual prisoner swap.
ABC's Tom Rivers. Former President Trump tonight formally accepts the Republican presidential nomination at the Milwaukee convention. Last night, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance accepted the vice presidential nomination. Facing conservative backlash, farm equipment manufacturer John Deere says it'll no longer sponsor social or cultural awareness events. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Advocates are demanding an investigation into the deadly police shooting of a homeless man in Milwaukee. It happened outside the Republican National Convention perimeter. Five officers from Columbus, Ohio, shot and killed Samuel Sharp Jr. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman says Sharp was threatening someone with a knife.
Someone's life was in danger. These officers, who are not from this area, took upon themselves to act to save someone's life.
About 100 people came to a vigil for Sharp. There are hundreds of law enforcement officers from all over the country here in Wisconsin to help with the RNC. Now authorities will start an investigation into the deadly shooting. And Thursday is the final day of the Republican National Convention. We're expecting speeches from members of the Trump family. And then in the evening, former President Donald Trump is expected to give the keynote address, formally accepting his party's nomination. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is Civic Media News.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks now 0-3 in summer league play after losing 112-97 to the LA Clippers. Meanwhile, the Bucks have added free agent shooting guard Gary Trent Jr. from the Toronto Raptors. Patrick Beverley is leaving the NBA. He's going to play in the Israeli League next season. Baseball, the All-Star game with another win for the American League. They won 5-3 last night in Arlington. NFL, the Packers quarterbacks and rookies reporting to camp today in Green Bay, the first practice Monday. CEO Mark Murphy asked if he's getting concerned about reaching an agreement with quarterback Jordan Love. Murphy praised his vice president of finance, Russ Ball.
You know, I tell you, we are very fortunate. You know, we have probably one of the best people in the league in terms of salary cap management and negotiating contracts. And Russ Ball, he's seen it, he's been around the league forever. And, you know, I'm very confident that we'll be able to get a deal done.
That's the Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Tad Taggart joins us from Western Racket and Fitness to update us on his Endure Just Finish project.
And Tammy and Joe Lefebvre from Oshkosh are in our small business spotlight. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be another really nice day today. Lots of sunshine, low humidity, and just a light breeze with a high of 78 this afternoon. Tonight, clear and cool, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 80 by Saturday. An isolated thunderstorm, sunny, more humid, high of 82. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. Wish Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at wishcaregiverscdcp.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
You
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's wow. That's unbelievable. Really impressive. You Hollywood types.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media
You're listening
app.
To the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Sunday is National Ice Cream Day, and there's been a little bit of a shakeup as far as the flavors that consumers are looking for here in Wisconsin, across the United States. Welcome back, everybody. It's a fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee. It's my job to try to keep you involved in those kinds of conversations. We're going to take a look at the top five favorite flavors in America, thanks to the International Dairy Foods Association. Speaking of dairy, Cody Koster, broker analyst with EverAg, is going to be joining us, giving us a little perspective on what's happening with the dairy markets that influence America's dairy land. And we've got a new voice to introduce you to this morning as well. His name is Ben Jarbo, farm kid from Southern Illinois that joined the Midwest Farm Report this week. We'll give you a sense of direction that young man's looking at when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture, food, and our commodities. Stand by. So today is the 18th day of July. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day, 2013, Detroit declared bankruptcy. $20 billion in debt at that time. It became the largest municipal entity in the United States to declare bankruptcy. Happened on this day back in 2013. Happy birthday is going out today to action actor Vin Diesel. He's 57. Kristen Bell, she's 44. And very internationally popular, Priyanka Chopra. She is 42 years young. And now you know. Well, as I mentioned, he's young, but he's ready to learn. We welcome to the Midwest Farm Report this week, Ben Jarbo. He's a farm kid from Paxton, Illinois, that wants to help share the message, not just of agriculture, but specifically Wisconsin agriculture. He jumped right in this week. His first story took him to Baraboo, a distillery that's celebrating its 10th year anniversary. Welcome to Ben Jarbo and Driftless Glen Distillery.
You've heard of farm to table. How about grain to glass to farm? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and I had the opportunity to meet with Nate Mahinsky, a distiller at Driftless Glen Distillery in Baraboo, where he explains the history and the behind the scenes of the distillery.
We have been here since 2014. I myself started in February of 2015, so I've been here just about since the beginning. We are a mid-major grain-to-glass distillery. That means we're one of the larger distilleries outside of Kentucky. We produce a variety of products. Primarily, our focus is on the whiskey. So that is a grain-based spirit. And we do source almost all of our grain locally from the Driftless region.
And I saw that you guys do a grain to glass to farm program. Can you tell me more about that and what all that entails?
Absolutely. So we, being a craft distillery, like to think on a local scale. We source a lot of our grain locally. All of it's coming to us from Wisconsin. Our malted barley is coming to us from Brees out of Chilton, Wisconsin. And the corn, rye, and other grains are coming to us primarily from the Driftless region. And anyone who's starting a distillery is going to quickly realize that one of the major obstacles is waste disposal. So a typical batch for us is something like 3,000 gallons and a little over 100 bushels of grain. Once that grain has fermented, we really have no further use for it. So after we've distilled the whiskey off, we have to find somewhere to go with that grain. And so working with local farmers to dispose of that grain, in our case, it's used as cattle feed. That's really been a win-win for us from the waste disposal side, and then the farmers able to use that grain.
I'm just curious about how many barrels a year do you produce?
So we are averaging about 1,000 barrels a year. Some years it's been a little higher, a little lower, but that's our average. We're actually coming up on our 10-year anniversary this year, 2014 to 2024, and we are going to be trying to coordinate our 10-year anniversary with the filling of barrel number 10,000, and we're going to be right about there. So we're averaging about 1,000 barrels a year.
Well, congratulations on that. Do you have any best sellers that you think people should know about?
Well, the best seller is definitely the bourbon whiskey. And there is a common misconception that bourbon has to be made in Kentucky. It can actually be made anywhere in the U.S. as long as it's made, with U.S. grain, U.S. oak. And we are proud to be making fantastic Wisconsin bourbon whiskey. Although I would also point people to our rye whiskey. Rye grows very well in the northern parts of the U.S., in Wisconsin in particular, and we're using all locally sourced rye for our rye whiskey, and that product in particular has been a hit, especially among whiskey enthusiasts. So both of those products are really, really excellent.
Nate Mahinsky here with us, helping celebrate 10 years of Driftless Glen Distillery, while also explaining how they give us whiskey and feed the local livestock using their leftover byproducts. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lapenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
Not a bad first effort for Ben Jarbo. Thank you, Ben. Look for Ben on the county fair circuit. He's going to be making the rounds, trying to get better acquainted with Wisconsin geography and Wisconsin pronunciations. We've been having a little fun with Ben on those situations. So if you get a chance to see the tall redhead, please make sure that you introduce yourself. Well, Wisconsin farmers are introducing themselves to elected officials and staff out in Washington, D.C. this week. I know everybody's thinking about Milwaukee as the epicenter of political activity, but in reality, the farm bill is still waiting for attention in Washington, D.C. Don Lutz is one of the farmers from the Stevens Point area that is out in Washington, D.C. He's been there since Monday on behalf of the Wisconsin Soybean Association, trying to get staff and elected officials to focus in on the farm bill. He said one of the areas that he is paying attention to, crop insurance. They'd really like to see an increase in the support level price for crop insurance, because right now it just doesn't cut it in a year where Wisconsin farmers depend on it.
But in the farm bill, we're asking, of course, for the crop insurance continuation. We're looking to bring up that support level price. The support level price is so low right now that even when things kick in, if there's some type of a financial hardship on agriculture, it's not enough to kick in and make any difference. I think one of the people from Texas A&M, one of the professors there, said it made on average about $4,700 a farm. Well, that basically just that pays your diesel bill for maybe a month.
Don Lutz, he's a soybean grower from Iola out in Washington, D.C. He said another area that they're bringing up in conversations, finding unique areas in the world looking for soybeans specifically that are grown in the northern Midwest states. There's a new northern soy marketing collaboration involving Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin soybean growers. And he said one area that's looking for are soybeans, Morocco. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning back in the red ink furrow, I'm afraid. December corn's down 3, currently at 409. November soybeans currently down 6.5 at 1034. September wheat unchanged at 539. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese, that was up 2.5 cents, 191 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was down a half at 186, while AA butter drifted 0.75 cents lower, still at 313 a pound. As far as dairy in Chicago, right now we've got August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 2 at 1979. September's unchanged, 2039 a hundredweight. So there has been a shakeup when it comes to the flavors that consumers are looking for as favorites this year. Sunday is going to be National Ice Cream Day. And I want you to celebrate. So does the International Dairy Foods Association. But they want you to know there's been a little shakeup on the top five favorite flavors. In the number five spot, a brand new entry, cookie dough. Number four in preference by the general public. Number four, butter pecan, also a newer flavor. Number three is strawberry. And surprise, number two is chocolate. Vanilla has now become America's favorite flavor. It all involves dairy. Happy to talk about it. Up next with our friend Cody Koster from EverAg.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Okay, life insurance. The question I get the most is, do I really need it? Now, if you've got kids or a spouse or a loved one who depends on you, then yes, I've got two steps to help you get one. Step one, multiply your annual income by 20. This is how you estimate how much money you want the policy to be worth. It's called the coverage. It's how much money your loved ones get in case the unthinkable happens. Step two, look into a 20-year term policy for that amount. Term is just insurance lingo for a simple form of insurance. It covers you for a set rate of time, a term. The average cost of a 20-year term policy for most folks is between $26 and $30 a month. That's it, two steps to get you going. And then, if the unexpected happens, your loved ones can have some money to support them. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
Don Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Cube League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coops.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Cube Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Batons.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, day four, we're live at the RNC in downtown Milwaukee. A little sports talk with Paul Noonan, Brittany Merlot for Weather and Wine at 11:50. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Rolling yesterday, I did see some dust. Guess that's a sign that we have seen some dry weather. How are the yields looking? Anything that you're noting as far as the height on the crop, the test weights? You know, feel free to share. The Talk text line is open now at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Would also love to hear from you, proud parents or relatives of those kids that have been busy at all the county fairs around Wisconsin. How they doing? I'm happy to give a shout out. Just go ahead. But you got to send me that text real quick. 877 301-FARM. Cody Koster is joining us this morning, one of the broker analysts with EverAg, to talk about all things dairy. County fair season over there in Michigan too, Cody?
Yep, county fair should be getting in full swing here end of July, beginning of August.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. So let's talk a little bit. I mentioned winter wheat harvest underway. We've been having a dilly of a time in Wisconsin trying to put up decent first and second crop hay. Hearing anything about hay supplies or any of our feed inputs, really, Cody, as we kind of slog our way through July into August, starting to already think about feed supplies this fall?
I think it depends on kind of where you are in the country. I mean, here in Michigan, we've, knock on wood, had some really good weather and really good rains so far this year to get first, second, and some people are even rolling into third cutting right now of hay off, and the corn is looking really good. I know the people that I talked to in Wisconsin and Minnesota are having a little bit harder of a time, and I think that hay supply is going to get tighter as we kind of go out into the fall, as the hay prices are going to get a little bit more expensive, especially on some of the feed needs coming out of the field if the rain doesn't stop where you guys are, Pam.
Yeah, right. Well, and we're with you on that, hoping it stops thought process. The good news is, if there is a good news side, at least if we've got to purchase some feed, be it corn silage or corn, commodity prices have come down pretty substantially.
They have. And if you look at corn and even soybean meal, I mean, I'm looking at the charts right now and we are on lows that we haven't seen. You got to go back almost into 2020 to see some of these $4 numbers on corn. And we've, as a company, really had people step in and get some of their corn and soybean meal canola needs bought. I mean, a quarter to a half of the needs going forward, because these are just really, really low prices that we've seen in the past 3 to 4 years. We start dropping below $4 in December, if we can break that $4 number, and it could be a really quick trip down to 300 or 350 on the board. I mean, no matter who you talk to, it seems like the corn crop just looks fantastic throughout the country right now.
Yeah, prices we haven't seen since the pandemic, not prices we want to necessarily hover on for long. Now, Cody and I were talking, the markets are kind of quiet right now, or everybody's kind of in a hold position. We do have, our milk production report coming out?
Yep, we have milk production next Tuesday, followed by cold storage report on Thursday. And honestly, you know, like we were talking about before, Pam, it's been very quiet, grain and milk. You know, for the past week and a half, we've just kind of been in this range. And I think people are waiting to see, especially Tuesday with milk production, what will the USDA find out west on cow numbers, number one. And number two, were they down on milk as much as everybody's talking about with the heat and the weather and, you know, different strands of bird flu going through there in the previous month? What is the USDA actually going to find? And are they going to go back on last month's numbers and kind of jostle them around it a little bit? We talked to a few different people out west, California, Idaho, Washington, that might have suggested they were down a little bit more on milk than the USDA had come to print for last month's milk production. So that's going to be, I mean, eyes are going to be wide open on Tuesday when that comes out, to really see what the country looks like.
Interesting. Cody Koster along with us live this morning from his office in Michigan. He's part of the EverAg crew that we lean on routinely for guidance on what the market's talking about. Always want to remind you, they're not just about dairy. EverAg is about risk management in all facets of agriculture. You can go to ever.ag and find the details there. Are we getting a sense, Cody, on how summer consumption on our dairy products has been? Any information from the retail chain? Are we still featuring some of our dairy products, trying to keep consumers coming back around? What are you hearing?
It has been good. I mean, we've kind of looked at it as a company, as a holistic view. And as the summer has rolled on, there's actually been a lot more people that have gone out to eat to restaurants. The grocery store has slumped a little bit, but I think as the weather has been fairly reasonable this summer for everybody, people are kind of getting out, going out with friends and family, spending the money outside of the grocery store. And also these deals that, like a McDonald's or a Wendy's or Chili's, for an example, are coming up with, are really helping people get out there and spend that money. I know McDonald's new $5 meal plan has really elevated their foot traffic inside the restaurants, getting people in for that cheaper food for a little bit more a bang for your buck, if you will. I think that's what they're calling it right now.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take any kind of dairy traction we can get. Very good. Well, Cody, we'll wait and see what that milk production report brings us on the 20th and hope to catch up with you again pretty soon. Enjoy the summertime weather in Michigan. We'll catch up with you soon, all right?
All right. Thank you so much, Pam.
Beautiful. Cody Koster joining us live this morning from his office in Michigan. Always glad to have the EverAg folks along with us. And I remind you again, their website is ever.ag. That's ever.ag. And don't forget, if you missed any of the conversation with Cody and want to hear more, we'll have it at MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Will the Canadian ag industry be a net zero carbon emitter by 2050? Find out today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The Canadian agriculture industry is headed for net zero emissions status by the year 2050. At least that was the mood among panelists at a recent webinar. One of them was Nick Betts of the Canadian Alliance for Net Zero Agriculture.
The reduction in carbon or the increased productivity, essentially, of farms that we have in this digital age with very high functioning, technologically advanced, educated, large-scale farmers that we have in Canada. Like, we're at a pretty huge advantage here from an agricultural system compared to many places in the world when we're talking about addressing climate heating.
While confident that could happen, Betts is not saying it'll be easy.
We live in a debt-based economy. We're constantly borrowing against the future, and now we're saying we need to build a system that is sustainable, which means we're not borrowing against the future anymore. So it's very hard to develop value in a system where you're told we can only borrow against the future, but we can't borrow against the future.
Still, Betts predicts the system will become more efficient in achieving sustainability.
There's different tools that we can use where we can stack benefits, and if they're valued by society in ways that we can then coordinate it back to the people and groups that are using and doing things to help sequester carbon or reach those environmental benefits in ways that work.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
Thursday night on Nightlight, we are live streaming from 7 to 8 p.m. because of the RNC. We are back on air on all platforms from 8 to 9 p.m. Pete welcomes comedian Johnny Beaner and Abby Novak talks Light the Night Appleton.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.